Our battles get hard, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and I'd give up too, 'cause I do believe you're bound to lose. I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight, 'cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight, 'cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You must remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Bloodline. I've never heard that before. I love that. That is awesome. And just like I never heard on the right side of the great I am this morning. Love that. Appreciate the good singing we have at Calvary. Appreciate every single one of you. Appreciate the Lord tonight. And his goodness toward our way. And I know the gospel wagon will be pulled in soon with the kids, and and so we are very, very considerate of that. We want to see our children, and but still yet we have some things to mention tonight, and so we're going to take our time through that, and we will be done shortly. If you have your Bibles, let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter number 21 tonight. Revelation 21. And a couple Sunday nights ago, we began looking at the topic of heaven. And no doubt we could spend many weeks on the subject. And I personally probably would only scratch the surface of it with the studying I've done and the knowledge I have, and commentaries and the different things that I gather my information with. But if I can just get a bird's eye view from heaven, so to speak, or an upward view, I guess I should say, and a bird's eye view from the Bible, to try to encourage us in these last days, We always want to try to be balanced from the pulpit. We never want to always be, heavy on one particular subject. This morning we talked about defeat at Ai. Talked about Joshua, how he had victory at Jericho. Talked about that last Sunday morning. This Sunday morning, defeated Ai. And so that was the topic of sin and struggle and things that hold things back. And so in other times we find ourselves preaching on trials and tribulation and times of struggle. And these are things that need to be repeated because that's where we live in life. We are accustomed to those things. We experience those things. But every now and again, we need to hear about the new day that's coming. Every now and again, we need to hear about the by and by. Every now and again, I want to hear about, I want to preach about, I want to look into those heavenly things. I remember at Zion View, our church we first pastored, and I can remember at that church, I taught Sunday school. I pastored. I preached. I directed choir, Brother Ceylon. I did. I directed choir. I loved it, Brother Allen. Man, I just jumped up there and didn't have a lick of training. I just started moving my hands and enjoying it, you know. Shouted a couple of times. I said, come on, one more time, y'all. Let's go. And but we had a song that we sang. And I don't even know if this is the proper title, but Never Been This Homesick Before. I can see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Oh, buddy, I'm telling you. And I can remember in that little church with a little group of people and leading the choir singing that. And as I would get excited, they would get excited. And I'd start bouncing a little bit. I'd hold this hand and move that hand and hold that hand and move that hand. And just having a good time. But we were talking about heaven or singing about heaven. And, you know, sometimes we just need to put it in park a while and look into the things that are hereafter. You know, we're always going to have struggles. We're always going to have trials. We're always going to deal with the flesh. We're always going to ask God to forgive us of our sin. But tonight I want to, again, look into the subject of heaven for a few moments and just try to lighten the load a little bit. That's my intention tonight. Is just try to lighten our loads a little bit, get a little relief while we're on the way, on our way to heaven. And so what I want to do is I want to mention what we shared last time, and then we'll get into the lesson tonight, the message tonight. But last time we looked at Revelation 21, and in verse number 1, he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband." And what we did a couple weeks ago is we prepared the way for looking at the things in heaven. And we mentioned the old heaven and earth will pass away. If you do much reading in Revelation or heard much teaching or preaching, you'll know that after the millennial reign of Christ, the earth will be destroyed by fire. We looked at some verses, and we're not going to stay here. Well, I want to move along tonight quickly. But there's some verses in 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 10 through 14. And it describes, and it has a word where the word is noise, and it has to do with a whistle or a screeching sound. And this word noise has to do with a fervent heat giving a screeching sound as this old world is burned up. And it's believed that this is taking place in Revelation 20, verse 15, to Revelation 21 in verse number 1. The old heaven and earth will pass away. And here in Revelation 21 and Revelation 22, it describes the eternal state, the new heaven and the new earth. the New Jerusalem, as it were. And we looked at those things last time. We looked at that this new, as it is now, but there will be a new heaven and a new earth, this new Jerusalem. It will be, as it is now, the eternal state or the eternal home of all the redeemed. The church will be there. Old Testament saints will be there. Tribulational saints will be there. 144,000 will be there. Nation of Israel will be there. Gentile nations will be there. Angels will be there. God will be there. Jesus will be there. Most of these are already there. They're just waiting on us to be there. So we looked at all of these things on our last time we spoke on the subject. The old heaven and earth will pass away. We looked at the new Jerusalem, verse 2 and 3 of chapter 21. We looked at the eternal home of all the redeemed. And tonight I want to look at some other things. And so I feel like we're prepared now to look at the things I want to mention. And so now there's the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And so now let's look into these things as we know it as heaven. First of all, I want you to notice some things that will not be in heaven. Some things that will not be in heaven. In verse number 1, there will be no sea. Notice what he says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. One of these days, there will be no more sea or sea life. No more sea. It will all be gone away. The world is made up, 2/3 of the earth is covered by water as of now. And so when this new heaven and new earth comes down from God, there will be no more sea. There will be a source of water. In fact, it's called the river of life will be the source. But there will be no more sea. Why will there not be no more sea? Well, when a person is saved, God puts their sins in the depths of the sea. And you don't have to turn there, but you can jot the verse down. But in the book of Micah, chapter number 7 and verse number 19, tells us that our sins are in the depths of the sea. And so if we are spending eternity in heaven, and if there is sea there, it would remind us of our sin. We know that sea life and sea as we know it today, you go on the beach and the waves would roll in wave after wave after wave, and possibly, you know, trash and all kinds of things, debris, just very, very unsanitary. Well, that pictures our sin. And those of us that are saved, that know Jesus as our personal Savior, our sins are in the sea of God's forgetfulness, according to Micah chapter 7 in verse number 19. I take that literally. I mean, I take that in the sense that our sins are gone, but yet when we have this new heaven and this new earth, there won't be no sea. Why? Because that would remind us of our sins being there. And so there won't be no more sea in this new place, this new heaven. And so we see that when a person is saved, God puts their sins in the depths of the sea. I know this is really interpreted figuratively, but in the same sense, if we visibly see this, it would remind us of our sins, by which we will remember our sins no more in the by and by. And so no more sea. Notice something else. In verse number 4, no sickness, sorrow, pain, or death. Look at verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You see what he said there? This is life as we know it now, Life as we know it now is a season of sorrow, isn't it? It's a time of ups and downs. It's a time of ins and outs. It's a time of faults and failures. It's a time of successes and declines. It's a time of when you succeed, when you don't succeed. It's a time of sickness and health. It's a time where things are good and things are bad. It's just an up and down time. We are living in a time where things could go any way. One moment things can be good, and the next moment things can be bad. One moment things can be good with your health, and then you can get a phone call from the doctor and you can have cancer. One moment things can be fine with the family. The next moment there can be a death in the family. Well, the Bible says that there's coming a day that, verse number 4, that God will wipe away all our tears. All our tears. And there shall be no more death. Praise the Lord from that. There won't be any hearse in heaven. There won't be any cemeteries in heaven. There won't be any caskets in heaven. No need for funeral homes in heaven. No need to cry in heaven, the Bible says. No crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Can you imagine living in a place with no headaches? Can you imagine, Brother Don, living in a place no knee pain? I mean, you're on the rebound, I know. But can you imagine living in a place where no back pain, no kidney pain, no liver, no kind of pain anywhere? We're just living and we're basking in the light of God's love, in His holiness, this place called heaven, such a wonderful place. A place where there's no more pain, a place where there's no more sadness, no more tears. And honestly, it's kind of hard to believe because I'm going to have to be there to experience this. I mean, I'm just going to have to. I mean, I believe the Bible for sure. I'm just going to have to be there to witness it myself. When I was young, I used to have to go to Scottish Rite often because I had migraine headaches. And to this day, I have cluster headaches where I will get headache after headache after headache after headache. They're not as bad as they used to be. I've mostly grown out of those. But I'll tell you right now, I keep a bottle of Excedrin at home. I keep it. It's part of my life. I mean, I can't even think of a week that goes by where I don't take any. And I do that because of this thing right here on my shoulders. And the way that I'm wired and how I think and how God created me. And these cluster headaches, at times I have them and they come and they come and they come. I can't imagine one day not taking Excedrin for my headache. But there is coming a day where I'm not going to have to do that. And some of you are not going to have to go to your doctors for medication. You're not going to have to go by and get those refills that you've been leaning on for so long. Because you will be in that place called heaven. And so we see in these verses that there's some things not going to be there. And the Bible says no sickness, sorrow, pain, and no death. In verse number 22, the Bible says there's no temple in heaven. Verse number 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. He himself is the temple. In verse number 22. Verse number 23, no sun or moon. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. This morning I made this statement, I think Brother Allen made a statement as well, that you know the S-U-N is shining outside and the S-O-N is shining on the inside. But one day the S-O-N will be all the light we need because of His glory and who He is will be shining and lighting up heaven. What a blessing that'll be one day. No sun, no moon. The weatherman the other day, he was trying to be humorous, and I guess it was kind of humorous. He opened up the broadcast, and immediately the camera was on him, and he had a pair of sunglasses on. He said, if anybody sees a big orange ball in the sky, it's the sun. And, you know, it was his funny way of saying it's going to be sunny today. One day, we're not going to need no sun. There's not going to be a sun. One day, there's not going to be a moon because the Lord, no sun by day, no moon by night. The Lord himself will be the light. We're in chapter number 21, verse number 8. I want you to notice, look at verse number 8. He says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers, the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No unclean thing or lost sinner will be in heaven. Verse number 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. No unclean thing or lost sinner. Chapter 22, verse number 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. But inside those gates will not be any of those things. All outside the gates. And so we see no unclean thing or lost sinner. No curse. Chapter 22. In verse number 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. No more curse. The Old Testament ends with a curse. Malachi 4:6. But the New Testament ends with no more curse. All in heaven, no curse. No night, we mentioned that, or in part we mentioned that a moment ago. Chapter 1, verse number 25. It says, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. No need for security. No need for protection. The gates open all the time. How about that? No night. Darkness in Scripture is a picture of sin and hell. There'll be no night there. There'll be no corruption there. Gates open all the time. Then chapter 22, verse number 5, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So these are some things that are mentioned in heaven. No night, no curse, no unclean thing or lost sinner, no sun, no temple, no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no sea. But let me move on and mention a couple more things. What about the activity of the people in heaven? What are they doing now, and what will we be doing then? Well, in chapter number 22, in verse number 3, we will serve the Lord. He says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. All we know is what the Bible says, and the Bible says we are going to serve the Lamb. And I don't know what all that entails, and I don't know what all jobs he may have for particular people, but I do know there's particular jobs. Based upon our service for him and our faithfulness to him, we will be serving the Lamb. Not only that, but we will look upon God's face. Look at verse number 4. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. The name in the foreheads, this speaks of ownership. We will reign forever. Verse number 5. Again, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The activity of heaven. We will serve the Lord. We will look upon God's face. We will have his name in our foreheads. In then we will serve the Lord forever. But also, there's the reservation of heaven. There's a reservation of heaven. For a person to go to heaven, they must make a reservation in advance. They must have their name written down on heaven's roll. Chapter number 20, I want you to notice in verse number 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place, a place with no pain, no sickness, no sorrow. All of these things will not be there. A lot of great things will be there, a lot of activity in heaven, but you got to have reservations to heaven. Is your name on heaven's roll? And is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? And the Bible says, if it is not, then you will be cast in the lake of fire. There's the reservation of heaven. But then there's the invitation of heaven. Notice in chapter number 22 in verse 17. Heaven is for whosoever will. This is the last invitation in the Bible. And it's for whosoever will may come. Notice chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take water, take the water of life freely. It's the last whosoever will in Scripture. And this is the invitation of heaven. Only those who receive Jesus as their Savior will go. And God invites all men to go there. That's the invitation of heaven, the reservation of heaven. I want you to notice something else about this place we call heaven and what heaven's going to be like. In chapter number 21... I want you to notice in verse number 11 and also in verse number 23, we see the light of the city. And what I want to mention is the size and description of heaven. The light of the city is part of its description. This speaks of the glory of Christ that will fill up all of heaven. His glory will be so great, not even a shadow can exist. Verse number 11, chapter 21. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. In verse number 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Part of this description, as we said earlier, is that the light of the city is the Lamb of God Himself. He will light it up. Now, what about the wall of the city? The wall of the city, the walls of the city are going to be great and high. Great and high. Chapter number 21. I want you to look in verse number 12. The Bible says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Great and high are the walls. Now, the size of the walls are in verse number 17. He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angle. The size of the wall basically is 216 feet high, is the wall here described in verse number 17. Verse number 18, he says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. The size of the wall. I just read to you verse number 18. The color of the wall. The color of the wall is jasper, which is the color of clear crystal. Clear crystal. If you were to stand on the outside of the city and look toward the city, you would see the wall, but also be able to see through the wall and see the beautiful golden city. How about that? If you were on the outside looking at the walls, looking at heaven, you could see right through the walls and see the golden city. That's a pretty amazing thing. This is the place that all the redeemed are going to. And so what a wonderful sight it must be. The wall had 12 gates of pearls. And we won't go through every one of these tonight, but chapter number 21 and verse number 12 and 13, we read those, and had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. Verse number 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of that city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Verse number 25 continues that. Now the walls speak of security and protection. Never again will God's people have to fear harm or danger. I mentioned that a moment ago. The walls being a secured place. The city itself is made of pure gold. Verse number 18 of chapter 21. He says this in verse number 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. It's made of pure gold there in verse number 18. Has a street of gold. One street. Gold street. Verse number 21. Thank you, brother. Got an amen tonight. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. It's gold street. There's one street, and it's pure gold. The size of the city, Revelation 21, verse 16, 12,000 furlongs, which is 1,500 miles. The city is four square. Verse number 16, chapter 21. This means it is 1,500 miles in all directions. Basically, it's the shape of a cube or a pyramid. The city has 12 foundations. We're here in Revelation 21, verse 14, speaks of these 12 foundations. Look at verse 14 again. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verse number 19 and 20. Speaks of the different stones that's within these foundations, all making up these 12 foundations. And so that's the city. It's a city that's four square. It's a city that's 1,500 miles long and wide in all directions. Has a street of pure gold. It's pure gold itself. And all of these things that we mentioned tonight, as far as the description, the size, this is where we're going. Now, I know it's hard to comprehend and fully grasp it and catch it tonight. We're tired. We're on the brink of a whole new week and all. But I'll say this, that there's coming a day, and Lord, hasten the day quickly to come and get us, that the day comes, we will be with Him, and we will fully understand then what's coming our way. And we will fully rejoice in that day. A lot of things won't be there. And no sickness, no pain. A lot of things won't be there. Heaven will be there. Jesus will be there. Lord willing, all of our family will be there. Just a word of encouragement tonight on heaven. And I hope that you will be there. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. I pray tonight, Lord, that everybody will be there. Lord, if there's someone not sure about being there, Lord, I pray that they would make their reservation there. All we have to do is admit we're a sinner, believe in our hearts Jesus died for us, and confess with our mouth that we're a sinner in need of Him. And confess Him as Lord and Savior, and we'll be saved, Lord. Turn from our sin, by faith embrace His plan of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, there is no length of time that would adequately and sufficiently talk about heaven. But sometimes we do just need to take a moment and describe the best we can. A few little details about the place we'll be going one day. A place personally, for me, I'll see my mom and relatives. And it'll be a glad reunion day. With all cares past, home at last, reigning with Jesus. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.